House.
President of the United States is a great man. You know, I support him day in and day out, whether going through the country, giving the Trump miracle speech, or on the show or on the website. So I don't think you have to worry about that.
An early morning tweet from Bannon calls Mr. Trump the great white hope for the USA, noting his support for the president has not changed.
President Trump is dissolving his voter fraud commission, saying many states have refused to provide basic information relevant to the panel's probe. Trump is also ordering Homeland Security to look into the issue. Trump claims voter fraud may have cost him the popular vote in 2016, although officials say there is no evidence that millions of votes were stolen. Investigators are looking into an Amtrak derailment in Georgia. More than 300 people were on board when three cars on the Silver Meteor train went off the track in Savannah, Georgia. Amtrak believes a frozen switch is to blame. Right now, Dow, S&P, NASDAQ futures are all higher. I'm Evan Haining.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. Of course, this is KYMN Radio 1080 on your AM dial since 1968, in our 50th year now, and 95.1 FM, The One. It is a Thursday morning, the fourth day of the new year of 2018. For our regular listeners, you assume that I don't have a guest because I'm playing this theme song a little bit longer than normal. Are you ready? Okay, you want to get up to that microphone and I'll say hello to you. Shayla, how do you pronounce your last name?
Hoheisel.
Ooh, say that again.
Hoheisel.
Hoheisel?
Yeah, Hoheisel with an L.
Hoheisel.
Yeah.
That's an interesting name.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that name before, although you've been on KYMN Radio with Jeff Johnson, I just learned.
I was, yeah.
Yeah. I must have had the car radio off on my way into the station or something. Anyhow, I did understand that you were in the travel business, and I was going to ask you how things are going on that front. And I got to make sure I say your name, Hoheisel.
Yes.
Hoheisel.
You got it.
How about if I just call you Shayla?
That sounds good to me.
You know, when I hear that name, it reminds me of a song. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Shayla.
Shayla who?
Shayla said she loves me. You probably don't know that song.
I don't know that song.
Shayla. No, well, it's a play on words, you know.
Okay.
It's Sheila says she loves
me. A lot of people think my name is Sheila when I say Shayla.
I like Shayla.
Thanks.
I like Shayla.
Thank you.
Shayla, you're just a young puppy, as I like to refer to it. I wonder when I have the pleasure of interviewing somebody approximately your age, I wonder, am I going to be able to fill 2 hours of conversation when the experiences of life hasn't, but because you're so young, you haven't had those many experiences, but we're going to try.
I think we can do it.
Okay. And first of all, you're in the travel business.
Yes.
Okay. And what does that mean? You work for a company? Do you do your own thing or what?
I have been traveling full time since 2015. So I don't work in the travel business. I just travel.
Oh, yeah. Well, then we probably can fill
a
couple of hours because you've been around.
Yeah.
All right.
I've had a lot of experience.
All right. Well, then let's do what I normally do and find out your background, and that is, where were you born?
I was born here in Minnesota, and I grew up in Lakeville.
Lakeville. Uh-huh. All right. So you're a Panther?
I was a Cougar,
Lakeville Cougar.
South, right after the split.
Well, you must have been one of the first graduates.
I was, yeah.
Yeah,
second.
Lakeville South, okay.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I always think of Lakeville as the Panthers, and I've had buddies from Lakeville that now are retired or really retired. And I've always had a place in my heart for Lakeville. I used to, as a teenager and just out of high school, spend a little time in Antlers Park.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't the Antlers Park that you know today.
No?
No, it was the Antlers Park that had I just had the guy on whose parents owned the place, and it was a ramshackle type operation.
Okay.
And I mean, well, compared to what it is
right,
today.
Yeah.
And one of the things I'll never forget is I learned how to play a game there around the campfire. And I'll think of it in a second, but we used to back our cars into the lake and then listen to the mufflers, so, you know, the exhaust, blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
And then try to get out, okay?
Yeah.
And I just almost remember that little game we used to play, but it'll come. So are your parents from Lakeville?
No, they are from, my mom was originally born in California, but had moved to Minnesota in her teens, I think. And my dad is from Piers near Little Falls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does your mother remember California as a child?
They moved a lot. I think it was like California, Idaho, Minnesota. I'm not sure where else. But I think she was there maybe till, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-ish.
Yeah, was she was your grandparents in the Army or the certain?
He was a cop, a police officer. But he was an entrepreneur, so he did a bunch of things, and that's why they kept moving.
Okay. Well, so you had two sets of grandparents,
mm-hmm.
and one of them lived in California,
uh-huh.
and the others lived in
Minnesota.
Ogden, in Minnesota,
uh-huh.
in Lakeville?
In Piers.
Piers, you just uh-huh. said that, okay.
Yep, but now they both live in Minnesota.
Oh.
Yeah, so one's in Apple Valley and one's...
But to be near their kids, grandkids and all that, because why would you want to move from California?
Right? Yeah.
Well... I shouldn't say that because I'm kind of like spiteful of California, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They think they're so great. They think they're so independent, and they have their forest fires, and they
yeah.
use up government money for that. They have their mudslides, and all these rich people get the government's help on that. They have porous borders, and they are now legally, you can
uh-huh.
go in and buy pot.
Yep.
And did you ever read the rules on what that means to be able to buy pot?
I have not.
My wife and I like to travel out west. We
uh-huh.
we love Colorado.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Colorado passed the law that you can do this. And so while you're traveling, look up the rules on what this pot thing is. And, you know, there are dispensaries for medical purposes.
Yeah.
Then they went to general sales and all
yeah.
that. And the rules and regulations are pretty tight. I mean, it isn't like you can go sit in the theater and smoke pot or go sit on the
right.
bench in public. You only can do it where it only affects you, and you can't do it in anybody's home without their permission.
Right.
And you got to be so many feet from here and there.
Right. And it's kind of like alcohol, though, because you can't drink alcohol on the streets.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like it's
okay.
There's some restrictions, I guess. But I didn't know that they had all those. That's interesting.
So those grandparents did move to Minnesota.
Yes.
And now where are they living?
Apple Valley.
Apple Valley.
Uh-huh.
And the other set of grandparents are living?
Piers.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how long is that to get to Piers?
It's like a 2-2.5 hour drive.
Where did you spend Christmas or the holidays?
All over the place. I did 5 Christmases this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you married?
No.
Oh, well, tell me about your 5 Christmases.
Well, my parents are separated or divorced, so I had Christmas with mom, Christmas with dad, Christmas with dad's side, Christmas with my boyfriend's side. What's the 5th one? Oh, and then Christmas with his small family and his big family. So those were 5 Christmases.
Yeah, well, you're one of those people that parents are divorced.
Yeah.
And I come from that. And it's more common, I guess, than actual marriage.
Yeah, right. That's what I called it, a modern family Christmas.
Yeah.
It is modern family now.
No, do you have siblings?
Yes, I have a sister who's 16 months younger than me, Amber, and she's a cop, and she just had a baby last year.
Where is she a cop?
She is in Washington County.
Oh, Stillwater area.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's 6 years younger?
16 months younger.
16 months?
So like a year, yeah.
Oh.
So we were just a year apart in school. So we've been best friends for a while.
Did you grow up with your mom or your dad?
They just recently separated like 5 years ago. So
oh.
we grew up, all of our childhood was together.
Yeah.
And so just recently.
Well, you know, I was reading the other day that adults whose parents divorce, you know, kids that are out of the house and have their own careers and all that, really almost as overwhelmed as a teenager, let's say.
I can see that.
And I thought, well, why wouldn't it, you know, it's a reality. They know it. They've been exposed to it. Why would it be more tough on an individual when you're already...
Was it tough on you and your sister? I mean, it's your whole life is one way, and then it changes 25 years later. It was like, oh, okay. So I think that's kind of just the... just how it's always one thing, and then it changes. A big change later in life is kind of like, okay, that's strange. But it is true. You have, like, more life experiences, and you can kind of understand a little bit more than a kid who's like, wait, what? What's happening?
Yeah. So. Any bitterness?
Not anymore. No, it's all right. I feel like that's it. Life happens.
Yeah, okay. I mean, sometimes they blame the dad,
right?
Because he has another woman or something,
right?
Did you, since you were an adult, you never had to play the game that kids play? Like, I'm mad at you, and you're mad at me. I'm going to go live with dad.
No. It was pretty easy. It wasn't bad.
What was your favorite party that you went to of the five Christmases?
I can't tell you what my favorite party was.
Okay.
There's so many people.
Well, why wasn't it my party? Yeah, what was it like?
So one of the most interesting things, I guess, that happened was at my boyfriend's big family, his grandma gave every single person a shirt, and the boys got one color, and the girls got another color. So everybody, to play along, put these outfits on. And so half of the room was in the red plaid, and the other half was in a white Cardinals, like, button-up flannel shirt, and that was hilarious, because when everybody started opening up their presents, you see everybody get the same shirt.
Yeah.
And then we took Christmas pictures in these shirts, and that was pretty funny. I enjoyed that.
Your grandma have a sense of humor?
Yeah,
or lazy?
Yeah. No, she's like, I think this would be funny.
You know, I have a bunch of cousins, and their grandmother on my mother's side would get everybody the same thing, age bracket, of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, I lived in Indiana for a while, and we would just write letters to each other, our cousins. And I got from Grandma, I've got a balsam airplane that uses rubber band to blah, blah, blah. Hey, I got one, too.
Oh.
So she treated us equal, and I thought that was pretty cool of her to do that.
Cool.
So what about that place where, you know, the plaid shirts and all that? Did you have a sit-down dinner?
It was kind of a buffet hangout. It was pretty casual. It was nice. You go get food, you eat, you talk, get some wine or whatever.
Yeah.
And
watch a little football maybe.
Yeah.
So that's one down. Okay, what about the next one?
Come on.
Well, this is fun. Hey, everybody's nosy.
They were all good. They were just a typical, they were all just... You go, we ate more than you should ever eat. Five Christmases in 3 days, that's five big meals in 3 days. That's a lot.
And, of course, I'm not going to ask you who was the best cook.
Yeah, right?
I won't do that. But did you at least get different foods?
Yes.
It wasn't all ham and turkey, was it?
No. Hmm? We had some chicken wings at one of them, like meatballs. There was all sorts of food, and it was interesting to bring my boyfriend to my family Christmas because he had never had those, you know, the pickles with the cream cheese and the ham rolled up.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Those are like candy for me. I love them, and I will eat too many of them. And he's like, what's that? I was like, what do you mean? What is this? I guess this is the best thing ever. And so it's kind of fun to go to different people's Christmases and kind of see what they do differently. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm from more of a traditional. And my wife is Norwegian, so guess what we had?
I want to guess, but I don't know the right.
Lefse.
I was going to say lefse. I don't really know. I don't know what lefse is.
Well, it's, I watch her make it all the time. It's like a potato based bread. And then you put butter on it and brown sugar.
Uh-huh.
And then you roll it up and slice it like you do that pickle ham thing. And it's like candy.
Yeah.
Or you use it as a taco shell and you put lutefisk on it.
Which is?
You don't know what lutefisk is?
I know what it is, but I can't remember. Because I'm super German, and so we had all of these things, but I just didn't know the names for them. So I'm sure.
Well, lutefisk is a fish.
Fish, okay.
And it's wiggly... How do they say? There's a song called Ludafisk. and it's wiggly, squiggly fish. It's just all white, and you boil it, and you put it on a platter, and it slides around. And then you chop it up into, you know, quarter-pound pieces.
Okay.
And then you cut it up and eat it with brown sugar and butter, salt, pepper. Or you put it in the lefse and roll it up and have a Norwegian taco.
Okay.
And that's it. That's
the
truth.
Sounds good. Yeah. I feel like we've had both of those things. I just didn't know the name.
Now, my family enjoyed rutabagas.
We have done rutabagas.
And one of the things that brings back memories is your sense of smell. And when you walk into, like now I put the meals on, but when you walk in the house, from the time I'm a little kid, the first thing that hits you was rutabagas. And they stink if you don't like them, you know.
Yeah.
And so when you walk into a Norwegian home, you can smell the lutefisk.
That is funny.
And some people don't like lutefisk. But okay, so that's what you had. Five great Christmases, traveled a lot.
Yes.
And
and I just did a recap video because I also have a YouTube channel. And so that's where I do, because I've been traveling so much, my friends wanted me to write a travel blog. And I was like, I don't really enjoy writing. I don't know. I like telling stories, but I don't like sitting down and writing. So I started doing video blogs. And so I would tell a story about what I was doing. And I'm committed to doing one video a week, every single Wednesday. So every Wednesday I'd make a video, and there are a lot of Wednesdays. They show up a lot. I'm always like, wait a minute, there's another one. So I just posted yesterday my 2017 recap video where I went through my entire year. And I went to six different countries and I think five different states and took, 20 different flights or something going to all these places. And it's crazy. I mean, I feel like that's kind of what the New Year is reflective and looking back and maybe looking forward to what you want to accomplish. But it was crazy going through all of my photos and videos for the year and just being like, what?
So how long did this last? The one that, did you complete it?
The video?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many minutes is it?
It's like 9 or 10 minutes.
Okay, is that long?
It's
on a YouTube? It's on YouTube, right?
Yeah. On YouTube, you definitely have a different audience for Facebook and YouTube. Facebook, they want 1 minute, 2 minute max. YouTube wants 10, 15 minutes. And so it's kind of hard to manage both, but I try and stick between the 8 to 12 minute range. And so I think it's kind of on par with.
Is there a lot of editing in a basic?
Like 12 hours. Yesterday I edited for 12 hours. A long time, but I also wait. Yes, I shouldn't be editing on Wednesday. I should just be posting on Wednesday.
Now, when you edit, is it a nice smooth seam? Do you have audio?
Yes. So I do something called jump cuts. So if I'm talking, I'll usually write a script, and then I'll say, "Hey guys, my name's Shayla. I make these videos every Wednesday." And then I might pause, look down at my paper, figure out what I want to say, and I'm still recording. And then just look back up at the camera and be like, "This Wednesday, I want to talk to you about da 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 da." And then when I go back and edit, I'll delete that middle piece. So there's a lot of jumps. It's not one smooth 10-minute thing. Actually, I had 30 minutes of me talking, which is called vlogging, video blogging, and then a bunch of footage from my year, 30 minutes, and I compressed it into 10. And so I pulled out the pauses, and I pulled out when I said or if I coughed or whatever, or boring stories that I told. I was like, well, that's not really interesting, and threw it away. And so then I compressed it down into this 10 minutes. And so it goes from me in front of the camera talking about things, being like, I went to Cuba, and then I throw in a clip of Cuba, and I maybe throw in a little bit of the vlog when I was talking about Cuba. And so I'm in a different outfit in a different place, and I'm like, Cuba was safe, and da da da. And so I just made this giant hodgepodge collage of my chronological year.
Now, you'll have to educate me because, as you can see, I watch them edit in the production room next door, and they're staring at all these lines.
Yeah,
and
the
I'm
audio.
Going, what? You know, to me, I was the old reel to reel and
no.
cut it.
Oh my gosh,
put it together.
Yeah.
And one of the things I did learn is that I was listening to a gal on a radio station in southern Minnesota, and this is a few years ago, and boy, she was good.
Yeah.
She was really good, and I'm thinking, not one, nothing. Everything was just perfect.
Wow.
And it was later that I learned that it's record, stop, record, stop, record, stop, push them together. And I found out that that's how she didn't make any mistakes.
Right.
The only thing was is that there was overlap of feeling within the delivery. I mean, I couldn't tell one story from the next because there wasn't that pause and that flow
right.
and all. But it's amazing, and I thought, you know, this is what I should learn to do. And then I said, this is not what I'm going to learn to
yeah.
do.
Yeah. Or not.
My guest this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair is Shayla Hoheisel.
It's a tough one.
Okay, I'm going to. Hoheisel. Hoheisel.
Yep.
Is the emphasis on Heis?
Hoheisel. Yep.
Yep. Okay, Hoheisel. All right. Do you have followers?
I do.
How many do you think you have or know you have?
Yeah, on YouTube, it's been growing a lot. I have 7,600 something.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's funny because last year this time, my mom saw an old post that I had posted, and I had 400.
Okay.
So it's grown 7,000 in the past year, which is crazy.
Now, that's pretty nice for the ego.
Yeah, right?
For me, it would be.
Yeah.
But is it financially beneficial?
Not yet. So okay. it's with YouTube specifically, you'll make a little bit off of, like, when you watch a YouTube video and there's an ad that plays in the beginning and you're, like, waiting for the 5 seconds to count down so you can click and skip it.
Well, excuse me for interrupting your thought. I've watched that and go, gee, I don't want to hear about a Toyota. And then said, well, wait a minute. It says skip ad.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's kind of cool.
Yep.
It comes on, click, and skip ad, and it gets right to the what I wanted to watch, which I don't do much of it at all.
No. But you know what that is, the ad in front of the video that you can skip. That's it. Yeah. So you can, on YouTube, you can turn that on or off. So if you turn it on, Toyota or whatever ad it is pays me pennies for every time someone presses skip or watches it or whatever. So the more views you have, obviously, the more money. But it's I have 7,000 followers. I maybe make $80 on YouTube a month.
A month.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not that is not where you would make your money. Where you'd make your money is from sponsors. So maybe you have somebody that says, "Can you make a video about a watch? I did a watch. I'm going to send you a watch. Can you make a video about it?" And I could say yeah or no or whatever. And then from those sponsors, that's where you would make money, either them paying you to make the video, or if you sell a watch and they know that you referred the person, you get a commission.
Okay. Are you a trained videographer?
No.
Okay.
I just started. And it's funny because I started on my computer camera. And so you see sometimes in the old videos, in my very first videos, it will kind of wave, and that's because it's sitting on my bed and I moved, and so the screen will wave forward and back. And then I upgraded to doing it on an old camera, and then I got a new camera, and then I got a new lens, and now and that's kind of what I tell people who want to start this. They're like, "Well, I don't have a camera." I'm like, "Okay, do you have a phone that can record a video? You're set." And so, because people, with any hobby, people are like, "Yeah, I want to start this," and then they don't anymore.
Well, I had a grand idea, and I had a guest in here by the name of Dahl, John, I think was his first name, and he graduated from Northfield High School. Uh-huh. I know his mom and dad. His dad was in my wedding,
yeah.
I guess you should say. And anyhow, he and his wife doing very well on YouTube, and you do these crazy little 20-second, 30-second, 2-minute deals.
Yeah.
Where, like, she's sleeping, and he'll, look at the camera with his finger over his mouth, like, "Be quiet."
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then he'll walk over and put a tarantula on her head.
Oh, my gosh.
And then she would, touch it, and then she'd go crazy when, you know.
Yeah.
And then, and they do all these tricks to each other.
Uh-huh.
And I assume that they are thought out.
Right.
And because they are very funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, who puts a tarantula in somebody's face?
Oh,
while
my gosh,
sleeping,
I know.
You know. Anyhow, they do quite well financially.
Off of YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I came up with an idea that I wanted to do. And I shared it with them, and they have not been knocking down my door to say, let's get it done. So then I have, my wife has relatives that live in Florida, and they came up and spent a week with us. And the children, three of them, are very, very talented. And so they do their own videos, and one of them is trying out for The Four. I don't know if you've seen that promoted. It's going to be another one of those songs. You know, like The Voice and American Idol. And
okay.
Americans. Anyhow, I told them about my idea.
Uh-huh.
And the young lady, she really, about your age.
Yeah.
She really loved that idea. That's good. Let's do that. Well, by the time, then they left the next day or two. And none of them said, hey, well, by the way, Wayne.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you when we're off the air and see what you think. All right?
Okay.
Our guest this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair is a young lady by the name of Shayla Hoheinzel.
Nailed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a brief break. It's 9:30 on 1080 Radio. You graduated from the Cougars, right?
Yep, Lakeville South.
And that, what year was it, 2014?
2018. Just this year, 2008.
Okay. 2000. Well, that's 10 years ago.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Doesn't time fly when you're having fun? Okay. So that means that what that means is you were probably born in 1988 is what I was going to say. Uh-huh. Sorry about that. Trying to make you a little younger.
So, yeah, thank you.
Hey, there's a big party coming up. Let's find out all about it. And this fellow I've known for a lot of years, more than 40. He came to town in 75. Let's celebrate.
The public is invited to an open house and birthday party for Dr. Ronald Lindy. Dr. Lindy's been in business in Northfield since 1975. The open house is Thursday, January 4th, anytime between 9 and 5. There'll be cake and cookies, so please stop in and wish Dr. Lindy a happy birthday.
Do you have an old junker car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junker vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
For your next haircut, here's a thought. Try Family Hair of Northfield. They're locally owned and operated. Family Hair offers friendly service at a great price. Located just across the parking lot from Just Food, Family Hair does cuts, perms, coloring, everything hair. No appointment is needed. Just walk right in. Christy, Megan, and their staff are great at what they do at prices you can't beat. If you have younger kids, they'll love the special kids seat with their choice of movies to watch while they get their hair cut. Visit Family Hair of Northfield.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station, The One, 95.1 FM. This is Thursday, January the 4th, and the year is 2018, and the time is 9:32. And my guest this morning is a young lady by the name of Shayla Hoheinzel. And Shayla is a traveler and a blogger and a YouTuber and all. You know, one of the things that I have to say is that when I take a break, I find it interesting that the vast majority of, the majority of my guests look down. And I'm going, what? Oh, they're on their phone.
Uh-huh.
Whoops. And I notice you doing that.
Uh-huh.
So what I'm hoping you're doing is that you are shooting out, or whatever the terminology is, to tell people to tune to KYMNradio.net.
Yeah, or I think
it's also on another. Anyhow, we're streaming.
Yeah, the live.
That so anybody that you met in Cuba or
uh-huh.
wherever can tune in
yeah.
right now and listen.
Yep.
So you better get on that phone.
I have done
next
it.
Break.
I'm already on it.
All right. So, Shayla, we're talking about what you've done. We haven't gotten you quite through high school. now, I'm sure that you and Amber got along real well, and you never argued over clothes or blouses or who left what
right.
on the floor or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, your typical lovable teenage girls.
Like all good teenage girls going through puberty, we were wonderful.
Oh. And you were living with your mom at the time?
Both of them.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, both of them. Uh-huh. That's right. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So we...
Maybe that's what split them up.
Yeah, right. No kidding. These girls... I know, we were basically the same age. I mean, a year apart is not much.
No.
So we had the same friends. We would go to the same places. We definitely were best of friends and worst of enemies. So when we were getting along, it was great. And when she would wear my clothes without asking, it was not.
No.
And so you
wouldn't
nailed
you
it.
Say to her, hey, these are my friends. Go find your own.
No, because she was dating somebody in my grade. So they really were her friends. Well, she had friends in her grade, too, but... I liked hanging out with her, and it was fun going to the same places. And I would get off work and say, where are you going? And we'd be going to the same place, and it was fun.
Lakeville, which is Lakeville South
yep.
now, where did you work when you were in high school?
I worked at Harry's Cafe right by the Lakeville Theater, and I worked there since I was 15.
I was there on more than one occasion. As a matter of fact, my very best dear friend from high school and through life, he passed away a couple of years ago. He was from St. Paul, and I would meet him at Harry's, and we'd have something to eat, and then we'd go to the movies in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Get the senior citizen discount.
There you go.
But I have to say, the service was always good.
Yeah.
It was always clean.
Mm-hmm.
And my first meal there, I didn't like.
No?
I can't remember what it was, but I just, But because of its convenience factor, went back and went there many times after that and enjoyed the food that whatever I ordered first, I never ordered again.
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
But,
well, hopefully you don't go back because you don't remember what it was.
Did you get to work the floor or were you in the back?
Yes. I was, I started out doing
Hostess?
Expo.
Expo.
Uh-huh. It's where you prepare, make sure that everything's right for the, you have the food runner, the expo's on the line and is looking at the food, making sure that it has the right size and the
presentation.
Right,
yeah.
Give it to the food runner and they go out. So you're like the final checkpoint.
Food runner, not waiter or waitress.
No, and then when I turned 18, I was on it. I was like, I turn 18 next week, so we need to take this test. I need to get moving. And so by the time I turned 18, I could take the test. And
take the test for what?
Like to know the food and to know all the questions.
And you can serve liquor.
And you could serve liquor, yeah.
But, Okay, so I would imagine with your personality, you probably garnered a lot of tips.
Well, and yes, but I think I continued to serve and go to different places. And as I moved around, I just learned more about customer service and upselling and different things like that. And so I got better because I would go to different, like I worked in Puerto Rico for a while and we had extensive customer service training. And then I would, I don't know, I just continually got better. When I was 18, I didn't know anything. And when you're 18, you feel bad charging someone 50 cents for a sauce. So you don't want to suggest it because you don't have 50 cents for a sauce. But as you get older, you're like, okay, yeah, give me the extra sauce for 50 cents.
You always asked for dessert, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. You mean, and how was the meal? And would you like some dessert? Today we have chocolate pudding or whatever.
Exactly, yeah. Yep.
And then you would get 15, 20% of that. Yep. Dessert, so it worked out pretty good.
Exactly.
So how long did you work at Harry's?
I worked there for like 4 years, and then I went to college.
You took 4 years off between?
No, from eight. I worked there from 15 to, okay, so 3 years, from 15 to 18.
Okay. What about your high school career? Did you get involved in athletics or did?
Yeah, okay. I was in dance and then I was in choir and
dance. Uh-huh. You mean like the highliners?
Kick line, yep.
Were you in the middle?
I was in the probably because of my height.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And then after
high school, did you ever have a competition where your school won?
I don't remember. I was not hardcore.
Okay.
I enjoyed dancing in that, and I enjoyed.
Was there a song that you enjoyed dancing to more than another?
I liked dancing at the football games more than I liked doing the competitions.
Okay.
So I liked going out on the field and doing
where the boys
that.
Are.
Where the boys are, yeah. That's where I like to be.
Casey, you graduated valedictorian?
No. I was class president, but I was not. Yeah.
How'd you do that?
I don't know. I tricked everyone into it, I think.
Did you actually have to run for it?
Yeah. There was a little bit of it was like, these people want to be it. You had to vote. It's pretty easy.
Well, in high school can be pretty traumatic, mm-hmm. A lot of drama.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to being a class president, sometimes it's a foregone conclusion that this jock or this beautiful girl or whatever, and then there's that little underbelly where they say, you know what, we're going to go and challenge the popular group.
Right. Well, that's what happened. So we had the king and queen, like the homecoming king and queen, and then there was class president. So king and queen was definitely challenged, and it was from one of my choir friends. And so that was cool because kind of all the choir people were like, we're going to vote for Simon, and he's going to be the king. And that's what that he got it. And so it was kind of
who
like...
Who was the queen?
Devin.
Okay. Yeah. Why are you laughing?
Because I shouldn't. Why do I remember that?
Yeah. Okay.
But then class president, I graduated in 2008, so our 10-year reunion's coming up, and I'm pretty sure I'm responsible for it. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I need to start figuring it out.
You can't you got to pick a date at least.
I know.
And let people know well in advance, but you know what you do. Hmm. You have a secretary. And you have a treasurer.
Yeah.
And you delegate. You know what? Our 10-year class reunion is coming up. Uh-huh. And here's what I'd like you to do, secretary. I want you to get all the names. And I want you to compose something, an invitation. Let me proofread it. And we'll send that out as soon as possible, followed by reminders. Now, class treasurer, you're going to have to get a post office box or an address of sorts that you're going to collect the incoming checks that will be coming pre-advance and have to set up a place where people can pay at the door.
Yep.
And then that's all you do is you just delegate it.
Yeah. And we did have a class. I don't know what it's called, but there was there were five of us. So, and they did.
Five of us what?
Five of us. It was called class court or something or home. I don't know what it was, but there were five people that were like, we all did the same role. It was the same. So there were five of us that were running all of, I don't even know what we did. I don't remember. But I know now that we have to do this. So I'm going to contact those five. And it's all digitized now. So I have a Facebook group with all of the 2008 graduates. Yeah. And I can post on there and then have them all send it to me on PayPal.
Yeah. I forget. No, I was going to have you lick stamps. And
right?
You got to get your other... The treasurer that's their role. I mean, you got to involve them, although you might be a little cliquish and use your five friends.
Yeah, right. No, it'll be, they're good. I will.
So you like dance and you liked music and boys.
Yep.
And were you a good artist at all? Did you take art at all?
I did like nerdy computer things.
Okay.
More than like art. So I would take like computer classes and shop.
You know what they call it in my day?
Hmm.
AV.
AV?
Yeah.
Computer?
No. Audio visual.
Ah.
You know, 8mm film.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And, reel to reel tapes.
Yep.
A lot of things have changed in the world.
No
and
kidding.
So you got it pretty easy, basically. You know, you can get that stuff done a lot quicker than the good old... But don't miss your 10-year class reunion.
I know.
And I'll tell you something that I've said on this show before. I know it's not politically correct to suggest that a woman is very attractive or beautiful. You can't do that anymore. But I will tell you, when you could do that... I would say the 10-year class reunion is the one where women are just, they're at their peak.
10 years after?
Well, 10 years, your 10-year class reunion. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've gotten an education.
Oh, right,
yeah. You've gotten the confidence. You know how to dress. You got the money to buy what you want.
Right.
And you're stylish. You're with it. You're in. You know what's happening.
No kidding. That's true.
Yeah, and a lot of girls, I'll tell you, lose weight.
Yeah.
Or gain weight.
Yep.
And aren't frumpy. uh-huh. or nerdy.
Yeah, right.
And you go, well, holy cow, is that Sue?
Yeah.
Wow. Hi, Sue. Wow, I remember you. Get out of here.
Right?
You weren't nice to me, you know. So don't miss it.
Yeah, right.
It'll be a lot
of
fun.
Planning it.
We're going to take another break, and we'll be back, and we'll get on with this conversation that I thought was going to be short, but obviously it's not going to be. A very, very interesting young lady in studio with me, and her name is Shayla Hoheinzel.
Are you looking for a rewarding career with a successful, growing company? Post Consumer Brands, the makers of Malto Meal, Honey Bunches of Oats, and Pebbles, is hiring full-time in Northfield. We're looking for passionate individuals with previous manufacturing experience and a high school degree. We offer competitive wages for production employees starting at $19 and maintenance employees starting up to $28 per hour, depending on experience. 401k with a generous company match, and bonus incentive plans too. To view openings and apply for our full-time positions, visit jobs.postconsumerbrands.com.
We're Three Links, and we are here for you. I am Sarah Dandel, manager at Three Links Apartments in Northfield. We offer an active, vibrant community for seniors and the disabled. We have spacious one-bedroom apartments, controlled access, off-street parking, elevator, and are handicap accessible. This is a place to call home, make new friends, and participate in many fun activities. Tours are welcome. Call 664-8850.
We're back on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. Shayla is with me, Hoheinzel, and Shayla is a traveler, and I misunderstood and thought that she was a travel agent of sorts, and that isn't the case, but we're talking about high school, so anything else in high school? Did you take a class trip to Washington, D.C. or anything?
We did a trip to Spain with choir, but that's it. That was kind of my first taste
Where?
Of travel to Spain.
The choir did?
Mm-hmm.
How did you sell candy bars or something?
Yep. Yeah, cookie dough. Yeah.
How much did you have to sell?
I don't remember. Probably a couple grand.
Wow.
Yeah.
For just you?
Yep.
Wow. Did the entire choir get to go?
Yeah, everybody that sold enough cookie dough.
Okay, so it wasn't mom and dad had the money?
I mean, I'm sure if your parents had the money, you could... They could just pay for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you had to sell cookie dough.
I sold cookie dough, yeah.
Did your sister buy any?
I don't know.
More than you sold.
Yeah, right.
Now, when you sold your cookie dough, did you go door to door, or did you go to stores, or did you know people that worked in a company that could solicit for you?
Yeah, probably all the things. I like to do all the things. So I probably went door to door. And then, like, friends of my parents and different things like that. But people like to support a cause that to get a high schooler out and traveling. So some people just didn't really care about the cookie dough. Donated.
The neighborhood I live in, the kids that used to knock on our door, their kids are knocking on my door.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Funny.
Time flies.
Yeah, no kidding.
And you can't. I never say no.
Yeah, right.
You know, and on my refrigerator, I've got these coupons that are good for this and that. And I look, there's one out of about 50.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you don't think about it, although it's hanging right there on the refrigerator. So why did you go to Spain?
That's just the trip that the choir planned. And we went to a few different cathedrals and sang in the cathedrals and did a little tour around Spain, but... I think they choose a different spot every 2 years.
Now, how long was the trip?
Probably like a week and a half, maybe.
And did you sing and perform?
Uh-huh. The whole choir, yeah.
And who's the choir director?
Benson.
Mr. Benson?
Mr. Benson.
Okay.
I don't even know his first name because that's what I called him, Mr. Benson. Yeah.
he has evidently contacts in Spain that he could arrange this.
Maybe, yeah. I'm not
well,
sure
you have
how
to. I mean,
right.
You don't just get on a plane and go to Spain and with 50 kids
yeah,
and say,
exactly.
Anybody want to hear us sing?
Yeah.
I got a $25 bid, or give me 30. I got okay, do you want a soprano with that?
Right?
It's an extra $4.
Yeah.
So you sang in cathedrals and schools and churches, all the above?
Yep.
So it must have been a blast.
It was. It was so much fun.
What's the craziest thing you did that Mr. Benson didn't find out about?
I didn't do anything. People were doing crazy stuff. I was class press, so I was kind of the nerd. So I was like, you guys, don't do that. I think some people snuck out or something. And now I'm like, well, I should have gone with them. Like, what?
Yeah.
But I didn't do anything crazy.
But it was a thrill.
It was great. And it was one of my first we used to go to Mexico as a kid just on vacation. And I went to Japan to visit a cousin while I was a senior in high school for like 2 weeks or something. And then that trip. So those were the first kind of taste mm-hmm. of travel that I had.
What did your cousin do over in Japan?
She was dating a military okay. guy in Okinawa.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was it like as a... how old were
high
you
school.
When you went?
Yeah,
okay.
Like
what was that like when the Japanese looked up to you?
So it was pretty interesting because they looked at you like you were a celebrity because they, I don't know, it was strange. And Okinawa is a different place than Japan, I guess. Like, I guess there's kind of a rivalry there too. So an Okinawan would be like, you were in Okinawa, not Japan, or same with the Japanese. And so even though they are Japan, but yeah, it was wild because I didn't have any other, because it was military and Japanese, not a lot of girls, really.
Yeah.
And so you have no one to compare yourself to. So I don't know. It was interesting. I don't know. It was very weird to not have a lot of females around.
Well, when you were walking down the street shopping, let's say, mm-hmm. Or going to a restaurant after parking in Okinawa, did the people turn their heads as you walked
they would
by?
They take pictures.
Yeah, because you're
pictures.
A tall, blonde
yes.
girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I remember being in a taxi, and the taxi next to me, there were two people taking a picture of me. And I was like, what? And they're like, they think you're famous because you're just here, and you're just a, yeah, blonde girl.
You should have told them you were somebody famous.
I know, I should have. That
yeah, just
said,
oh, like Madonna or
yeah.
something. No, I wouldn't wish that on you. Well, back then, I suppose there was no Taylor Swift.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So,
yeah, no.
Anyhow, you could have found somebody. Kim, what's her, from Australia, that beautiful woman.
I'm the wrong person. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But yes, I could have made up anybody.
Okay.
I could have just said I was Shayla, and they'd be like, oh my gosh.
You could have just your first name.
Yeah.
Are you somebody? Yes, I'm Shayla.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't Shayla. Yeah. So now you graduate from high school. Did you already decide what you were going to do with your life, like in this town, a college town? Most of the kids at Northfield High School uh-huh. are planning a career going on to a college, either uh-huh. one here in town or others, academies. What was your dreams and hopes? Were your mom and dad or grandparents college educated?
No. Okay. I was first generation college,
oh,
yeah.
Okay. Was there pressure?
There was no pressure, a lot of support.
Like, okay.
It was never a question of, like, if I was going to college. I was going.
So you like to have a fun time. Mm-hmm. Your outgoing personality.
Yeah.
Were you also good at the books?
I was pretty good at the books. I worked hard to be good at the books. Some people are just naturally good at it. I worked hard.
So then were you thinking of taking a year off after high school to just be yourself or plan to get into a college?
I was straight away to college.
Which ones did you think of?
I applied to Gustavus in Minnesota, and that was the only one in Minnesota. Otherwise, I was applying to colleges in, I think, two in California, one in Colorado, and maybe Missouri.
Did you do any walk-ons?
Yes, and that's why I went to California. My mom and I went to visit University of San Diego, and as soon as we got there, it was like, well, yep, this is where I'm going. So, and it was interesting because my dad is in the construction. He owns a construction company. And so I graduated 2008, which was the fall of everything. And so when I went to college, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go to San Diego, which was not a cheap place to go. And he was like, Shayla, this is really expensive. And because I was first generation college, I had extra advisors because sought them out. There's specific support for people who don't know what they're doing. And so I joined those groups, and I went to my advisor, and I was like, I don't think I can stay here. And she's like, you can. You're just going to graduate a year early and save an entire year of tuition. And I was like, I came in with 3 extra units, which is 1 class. And I was like, I don't think I could do that. And she planned out the whole thing for me. And she's like, yep, you can. Here's your schedule for the next 3 years. I was like, okay.
So you were fortunate enough to have the discipline to study,
yeah,
and the intelligence to comprehend.
Right.
So you could, with hard work,
yeah,
did you do it in 3?
I did, yeah.
What was your dad in construction in Lakeville?
He was all over the metro because he did siding, and now he's doing house. He flips houses now and rentals and all that kind of stuff, just construction-y. But college is insanely expensive for everybody, and especially during that time, everybody was struggling so hard. It was the fall of everything.
I would imagine you had some very wealthy co-eds.
Oh my gosh, in San Diego?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, my dad's the head coach of the Chargers. My dad owns this. My dad is a movie star. And I'm like, I'm from Minnesota. We've got corn.
How did that go over?
It was fine. They mostly made fun of me for my accent in like a playful way. It was never and I was like, forget you. I love my Minnesota accent. I'm not losing it, but I did lose it a little bit. But it was funny because in college, everybody would say I had a Minnesota accent. And then I would come back home to Minnesota for Christmas or whatever. And my friends would be like, oh, you sound like you're from California.
Valley girl.
Yeah. So well, it kind of went between. But my mom was born in California, so I don't think I ever had that really thick Minnesota accent because of that, because my mom didn't have it. And so it kind of just...
You know, you mentioned that I, you know, for some reason, California. Although... my wife and I spent our 25th wedding anniversary in San Diego.
San Diego, yeah.
And it was very pleasurable.
It's great.
But one of the things I don't like is those carols that talk, you know, with that, I can't even do it. You know, well, that's our expression.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so much fun. You know, that
I really
gravelly,
loved.
The little crack. They have that little crack in there. Come on.
Yeah.
All right. 4 minutes before 9, ten, before we take that 10 o'clock news break, I have to talk about a place that I don't know if you're familiar with, being from Lakeville, a place called the Quarterback Club.
I have heard of it.
It's on Highway 3 and 3rd Street.
Uh-huh.
And they are locally owned and locally managed.
Oh, wow.
And they are known for their roasted chicken. And they're known for their flame-broiled burgers.
Ooh.
Only place in town that does
that.
And they're getting to be well-known for their baby-back barbecued ribs. Ooh. With mountains of oozeness flowing all over it in the form of a succulent sauce you'll never forget. The Quarterback Club on Highway 3 and 3rd Street, serving breakfast every morning till 10. You got 3 minutes, folks. And, of course, takeout orders are welcome. Call-in orders are also welcome. The QB, the Quarterback Club on Highway 3 and 3rd Street. My guest this morning on KYMN Radio, Shayla Hoheinzel. I'm getting pretty proud of myself saying that properly. It isn't your dad's business isn't named Hoheinzel,
no.
Is it? Okay.
No.
The reason I looked at it, and it's spelled Hoheisel 1737. You got out of Lakeville South and off to San Diego go, and you get a wonderful woman that helps you make your plan to get out in 3 years so it'd be less tuition.
Yeah.
Do you recall what the tuition was? Where did you go? San Diego State?
University of San Diego.
Okay.
Yep.
What was the tuition compared to St. Olaf and Carleton?
I want to say it was like 30.
Oh, that's cheap, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember what it was. I moved off campus, which helped a lot. So I think that was off campus. I don't remember.
With people you didn't know? in a dorm of some sort, or apartment complex?
I moved off with a friend of a friend, and then my sister graduated high school, and then she moved out there. Because she was thinking about just going to a community college when she graduated. And I was like, well, if you're going to do that, come out to San Diego and go to community college here. Yeah. And so that's what she did. So for a year, we were living together with a friend of a friend who turned into a friend.
Yeah.
And lived off campus for that.
Whereabouts in San Diego did you live?
It's near SeaWorld. So okay. It's, yeah, near SeaWorld.
And I have no idea where SeaWorld is, although I've been there.
Yeah.
And it was a great show, and it's about the last time they were showing those great whale,
right?
White whales.
Yeah.
And it was worth it.
Yeah.
And I got to take advantage of the little sticker, a handicap sticker.
There you go.
Yeah, it was like nothing, you know. Okay, push. All right, we'll go in the side gate. Okay, we'll sit right up front here.
Oh, my gosh,
that's
perfect.
Fine. Oh, they took care of you.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. So now you're in the going to San Diego. What did you major in?
Psychology.
Well, figure that out.
Yeah.
Psychology.
Yeah.
Has it been of use?
I say I don't use it except for every single day of my life.
I mean, do you try to read everybody?
No, but it definitely helps with marketing and trying to think of what people would enjoy watching and what will hold people's attention and sort of analyzing when videos do well and when they don't do well and why that might be. Maybe the thumbnail or the photo on the video that gets their attention isn't attention getting, and just kind of thinking about how people use social media, I guess, and marketing and stuff like that. That's where it kind of comes into play.
One of the things that I was taught in radio school was never, ever start a commercial with a question.
Hmm. Okay.
You know, look, for example, do you like French fries?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they say no, they shut off the rest of the commercial, you know.
Nope.
So that's psychological.
Uh-huh,
just
yeah.
Do not ask a question that people can say no to, because they'll quit listening.
Yep.
Well, I hope people don't quit listening, because you're going to come back after our news break, all right?
Uh-huh.
All right. See you later. In a couple of minutes, you're listening to the Wayne Eddy Affair on the 95.1 FM and 1080 AM. It's 10 o'clock, and we're from Northfield, Minnesota.
Legal marijuana could go up in smoke. Trump steamed over Bannon comments. I'm John Trout. Attorney General Jeff Sessions will reportedly go after state legalized marijuana.
Later today, he is going to reverse some Obama administration memos that essentially adopted a policy of non-interference with marijuana-friendly states.
There's correspondent Laura Jarrett, who reports Sessions will announce a rescinding of policy that had let state-legalized marijuana flourish without federal intervention.
What we don't yet know is whether he's going to issue something new in its place, or he's simply going to revert back to the legal uncertainty that kind of puts this federal and state law in conflict.
Sessions has compared marijuana to heroin and blames it for spikes in violence. In the Golden State, San Francisco residents awoke to an earthquake. The USGS says the magnitude 4.5 quake struck early this morning outside Berkeley, California. The White House says President Trump was disgusted after claims by former top advisor Steve Bannon in a new book. Correspondent Caitlin Collins is at the White House.
The president's lawyers sending a cease and desist letter overnight to Steve Bannon, telling him to stop making defamatory comments about the president and about his family after he was quoted saying that what he thought Donald Trump Jr. taking that meeting along with Jared Kushner was treasonous.
A foot of snow is expected in Boston, Massachusetts today. Meteorologist Jennifer Gray.
This is going to continue to strengthen even more, and so we'll start to see those winds pick up even more. Hurricane force winds possible off the coast of Cape Cod, and then as it continues to push to the north a little bit later this evening.
President Trump has said there will be no military drills with South Korea during the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang next month. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 110 points in early trading. I'm John Trout.
When I get older, losing my head. let me out till 2:45. Would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota. Live and in color from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota. Well, let's get on with our interview with a young lady by the name of Shayla Hoheisel. And Shayla Hoheisel is a class of 2008 from Lakeville, Minnesota. She has a younger sister by 16 months named Amber. We got her through high school, and we got her through her five stops at Christmas time. Yeah. And we got her out to San Diego, where tuition is not as hard as it would be if you went east or stayed in Northfield. And the weather was very pleasant, I assume.
It was also 10 years ago, yeah. So I don't know what it is now.
I bowl with a fellow that graduated from San Diego State, and he's from Northfield, and he told me some great stories that happened out there as a Minnesotan surfer.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's funny because, like you said, there people there were pretty well off that we're going, and so you moved, especially at University of San Diego, because it was a small private school, and so sophomore year people would move off campus and move down to the beach, and so they were living in their beach houses, and so you would go to parties and you would go to one beach house, you'd walk the boardwalk to the next beach house that you knew party, and you walk to the next beach house party, and it's pretty wild. Because I graduated in 3 years, I didn't do a ton of that because I had so much to get done, but it was definitely not a Minnesota experience.
No, not at this time of the year.
Right.
So was that every night or just weekends?
Just the weekends, because it was a pretty straight school.
Okay.
Yeah, not like the state school.
Now, did you have an opportunity to go meet any famous or infamous people being out there on the West Coast?
There was a show called The Real World that I applied for and did a second interview in LA for when I was 18.
As an actress?
It's like a Big Brother kind of thing. So you go in this house and they just film you.
Oh, yeah.
Like a reality TV show, yeah. But I did not, I think if I had spent more time in LA maybe, but I didn't really meet anybody.
You didn't make the cut.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Doesn't it sound like something that would be that much fun?
Yeah, I'm kind of not upset about it, that it didn't work out.
At first, it's kind of cool, but pretty soon you get sick of each other.
Yeah.
So now you graduate in 3 years. Yes. Pretty good. Did everybody come out to go to your graduation ceremony?
They did.
Mom and dad and...
Yep, grandma and grandpa and sister.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you ignore them after you took pictures?
No way.
Good for
you. They were the support.
All right.
They're what got me through.
So now you got a degree in?
Psychology. Mm-hmm.
So now you can apply that into marketing.
Marketing.
And that was your choice?
I originally was going to do counseling, marriage and family therapy counseling. And then I started learning more about nutrition. And so then I wanted to combine the psychology and nutrition. And when I first graduated, I moved to North Carolina because that's who I was dating somebody from North Carolina at the time. And so I moved there and lived there for 8 months. And then I moved to Spain and was a au pair, which is like an international nanny.
Well, let's back up. Uh-huh. I like to get a little detail on things. So when you get your degree in psychology, you first wanted to apply it to marriage counseling.
Yes.
And any particular reason why?
No, I did a few internships with, I did an internship with juvenile girls, like in a juvenile detention center.
Uh-huh.
Loved it. I worked with freshmen who had failed their first semester and were trying to get back on track for their second semester. And so that it's called peer counseling. And so that I would work with them and try and help them get back on track.
Was that easy, or were some of them sincere, or some of them just party boys and girls?
Even if they were party boys, they were sincere in trying to get better because they had mom and dad at home, not very happy.
Okay. How about the juvenile girls? Did you find that, like a lost cause?
I was there kind of to help them with their studies and to help just talk to them a little bit. It was challenging because it was anywhere from 12 to 17-year-olds who were stealing cars or in gangs or prostitutes or lots of really intense things. And I learned a lot about, because some of them who were doing prostitution, their parents were both in gangs. And so they kind of grew up in this lifestyle that it just is perpetual sort of. And so it was really unfortunate. So I don't know that it was a lost cause. I think that I was there to help them for the time that they were in. And I kind of just accepted that for that. I wasn't there to change a lot because my role couldn't have changed a lot. So I guess it just...
Wait, was it scary?
No, I wasn't scared.
Not at all?
I think because
Disgusting?
Of the age... No, I think because of the age, I was able to almost befriend them a little bit. And I was able to talk to them about different things that maybe they couldn't talk to other people about. And I learned a lot. Like they will use hand sanitizer to get a little, like, for the alcohol content and different things like this.
Drink hand sanitizer?
A little bit, yeah. But there are just things like that, but I think because of all the traveling that I've done, I'm not a judgmental person, so I didn't go in judging them for the things that they had done. I just talked to them like they were 16 or maybe a little older, because obviously when you have life experiences like that, you're already older. And so I would just talk to them like people and help them with their math and...
Well, did they, they were there not voluntarily.
No, yeah, they were there.
Were they incarcerated?
Yeah, they were there because they were too young to go into actual jail.
Okay, so, I mean, they got a sentence to serve, and the county is trying to have them get something beneficial out of this lockup.
Yep.
And so then they bring in interns from your college that are majoring in psychology to not only help you write a paper, I would assume, but also to have some hope given to the young ladies.
Yeah, and that was a lot of the things that I told them, that I introduced financial aid, because people think, I have no money, I can't go to college. Well, that's exactly what financial aid's for. If you truly have no money, then the financial aid is there to help you afford college. And so... If your parents are not somebody that knows that, like I even have friends whose parents didn't go to college, and they're not in gangs and they're not anything terrible. They're suburban kids, but they don't know about financial aid because they didn't do it. And so until you get introduced to things like that, you don't even know that those opportunities are available.
Did you, when you were at Lakeville?
I did, because I was making appointments with my dean. I'd be like, okay, can we have an appointment? And they're like, for what? I'm like, I need to know about college. I need to know how to apply and what are the steps I need to take. And that's how I found out about the program in the university, because I was just digging in and trying to use all my resources.
And did you get some scholarship help?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. For grades and for, I was able to get... some of the school paid for.
No, is volunteerism part of an entry into a school like the one that you went to out in California?
Depends on the school, yeah. This one, I think they required a little bit. I know that's becoming more and more of a thing, which I think is great.
Yeah, it's kind of write an essay on what you've done for somebody else.
Yeah.
So these young girls, were some of them pregnant?
None that I worked with.
Okay. Tattoos?
Some of them had, I don't remember. I don't think, I'm not sure.
Acting tough?
They would act tough. But I could break them down because I didn't care. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how tough you are. I'm here to teach you math. And I'm just going to, and I just treated them like people, and then they just kind of disintegrated, and we're like, okay, let's do that.
Did you find one that was two or more that were exceptionally bright, but they did not even know it?
Quite a few of them, yeah.
No, what's that like?
It's tricky because you want to help them, and they, well, it's they don't have the support around them, so they don't have the confidence to do the things that they can do. And so to go in and tell them, like, you're understanding this very quickly, and like to kind of give them that confidence boost, I was great. I loved going in there. And it's kind of a niche thing because some people would be scared or they wouldn't know what to do or they would think, oh my gosh, I feel so bad for these people or whatever. And I just went in to hang out. And so I liked it. It was fun.
And you got credits for it.
Yes. And that was part of graduating early.
Did you ever have a lunch?
A lunch?
While you were in there?
Like eat food?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have snacks.
Some started on me a couple of days ago, so excuse me.
Don't worry.
So
after San Diego, I moved to North Carolina.
But I have a question.
Okay.
Were there young ladies in the county jail or juvie or whatever you call it, that did have the support, that did have the people that they could contact and be helpful to them, but they deny it and just want to do whatever they were arrested for?
None that I worked with. I probably only worked with like 5 or 6, maybe 7. And the ones that I worked with really were struggling with, and they didn't even know it necessarily, but they were struggling with the support.
Okay. So, you get done graduating.
Uh-huh.
Mom, Dad, and Grandma and Grandpa and your sister Amber's out there.
Uh-huh.
And you're having a wonderful picture-taking occasion. Go out for dinner.
Yep.
And soon that has to all end.
Yeah.
So, what do you do fresh out of college?
I moved to North Carolina.
Did you have a boyfriend that lived there?
Yes. He was in the Marines.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
From the halls of Montezuma?
He was there, and so I moved out there, and I lived
there. Where'd you meet this guy?
High school.
Okay. Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
A Lakevillian.
He was a Lakevillian.
Okay.
Yep.
A Lakevillist.
Yep. Yeah. And so
was he based out there at that big Marine Corps base?
Yeah,
whatever.
Camp Lejeune.
Lejeune. Uh-huh. I like that.
Yeah.
And so by email or text messaging, you learned, was he a boyfriend before?
No, he was a good friend in high school, and then he went to basic or whatever. It's not basic for Marine Corps. I don't remember what it's called. Boot camp.
Basic. Yeah, boot camp.
In San Diego. And so I went to his graduation, and then we just kept talking. And then
Were buddies.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
And that was nice to have him have more people in the audience as he was getting out.
Yeah, yeah.
The more the merrier, and then you can go party afterwards and all that.
Right.
So, then it became a little bit more serious as time and months go on. And he's going to South Carolina, did you say?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Yep. A big Marine base there, isn't there?
Yep.
What's it called?
Camp Lejeune.
I just said the Camp Lejeune. Uh-huh. I'm thinking of another one. But anyhow, you followed him down there, and he's out of basic, and now he's training.
Yep.
Is he a college graduate and therefore an officer?
The same age as me. So he went in and enlisted, and then when I graduated college, I moved out there.
Okay. So he was a grunt?
Yep.
And what was his specialty?
Driving. He was a driver.
Okay. I could have done that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So how long did that last?
That lasted a few years. I didn't stay in North Carolina long. I was there, and I worked on the base for a little bit. And then
what capacity?
There's something called rec issue. So I would rent out campers and bounce houses and lawnmowers or whatever to all the families and Marines or whoever wanted to rent them.
Okay.
And I worked in a restaurant there as well. And then
A nice restaurant downtown or a restaurant on base?
Yeah,
or?
It was a restaurant on base.
No tipping.
There was tipping.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But it was like a lunch hour. It was like a 2-hour lunch hour slam, and then it was over.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Was the food pretty good?
It was like a bar okay. food. All right. Kind of. Yeah.
All right. So now you say, you know, there's something more I can mm-hmm. do with my life than serve up chili in
yeah,
a mad
degree.
Rush.
Yeah. Yeah.
So?
So I moved to Spain, and I became an au pair, which is an international nanny, and I got to work with 2 8-year-old twins and, like, a 1.5-year-old kid teaching them English.
Okay, now, how did you get that job? Did they post these things, or
there's a website.
How does it work? Okay, tell me about the website.
It's a website called greataupair.com, and it was, you go on and you kind of say, I'm a au pair, or I want to be an au pair, and then you have a bunch of families, and you communicate online with the families, and then you decide where you want to go.
Skyping?
Yeah, we Skyped, because I didn't want to just fly across the world without having seen anyone or meeting anyone like that.
So did you choose a family, or did a family choose you?
It was both. I was interviewing a few families, and they were interviewing a few au pairs, and the timing worked out, and the, I don't know.
Were they all Spain families?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why Spain?
Spanish.
Oh, you had a degree in Spanish?
No, but I knew Spanish. I learned it in high school, and I learned it in college, learned more in college, and I just wanted to practice.
By the way, who was your dean at Lakeville? Mr.
I don't remember.
Okay.
I can see his face, but
that's
I
the one that
his
helped
name.
You out, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 All right. So now you're down there and you accept. Is that a pretty good paying job?
No.
Well, you get.
You do it to travel. And I remember calling my mom. And my mom, my mom is Lori. She owns Froggies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's your mom?
Yeah.
Well,
there you go.
I didn't know she had a child this old.
Yeah. Two of them.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But I called her and I was like, Mom, I call her before I leave for a lot of trips. And she's like, Shayla, you do this every time. You're going to be fine. But I went there and I was there for 3 months and was just speaking Spanish all the time, but English to the kids. And it's incredible how fast children can learn English. And they might not be able to speak it right away, but the little boy Pablo, I was speaking to him in English and saying, who's this? And he would say, Mickey Mouse. Or I'd say, what color is this? And he would say, azul, which is blue in Spanish. So he would respond back in Spanish, but he knew what I was asking him in English, which I think is insane. I think that's so cool. So that was a really unique experience. And I remember coming back thinking in Spanish, dreaming in Spanish, Spanish everything. And that this accent in Spain for Spanish is totally different than everywhere else. In Mexico or most places, you say gracias or whatever, gracias. And in Spain, they say gracias. So they have this, like, lisp.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with South America. They have a completely different Spanish accent, too. So as I'm traveling, I'm, like, learning all these accents. So then if I'm working and somebody's speaking Spanish, I can say, are you from South America? Are you from Spain? Are you from Mexico? I'm starting to be able to tell the different dialects, which I think is
pretty cool. Oh, like we have in our country.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
The East Coast is mm-hmm. totally different. No, I don't think I think that all the TV and movies are based on the way we speak in the Midwest.
You do?
Yeah.
I feel like they're from California. I feel like California is the neutral accent.
Okay.
I don't know. But maybe, unless it's Fargo.
Yeah. Getting back to you getting that job down there at MEK, I assume you get room and board.
Yes, yep.
And you get one day a week off.
Yeah, one or two. And I took a whole week off one time because I went to Italy. And they were cool with that. That's kind of the exchange. It's the culture exchange more than it is like a financial exchange.
So you get these wealthy people that you're...
I was with wealthy people, yeah.
Okay. So you have your own room.
Yep.
And maybe bathroom facilities in your room. In other words, you're getting to learn about Spain
mm-hmm.
and get paid a little bit of money.
Yeah, it was like $100 a week.
Yeah, well, $100, what's that like in Spain? Is that like...
Well, it was 100 euros, so it was like 130 US dollars.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you don't have to pay for anything.
No, exactly.
Except that 130 bucks can go to whatever.
Whatever, yeah. Which, and that's why I've done a lot of my traveling, is things like that. There's websites. I was a yoga instructor at a surf camp in Costa Rica, and it was the same thing. I think it cost me $100 for the whole month, but I got to live there and eat there for $100 for the month, and I just had to do yoga. And so that's how a lot of my traveling has been able to happen, because I just have to buy my flight in, and then I get to stay there for essentially free for the month. And so people are always, their mind is blown by all this travel that I've been able to do. And I just try and show them this website that you can go on and find a work exchange. And there's some that do it for farming, and there's some that do it for like youth hostels. And
do you think that the desire to do that traveling came as you were growing up in Lakeville, or as you were out in San Diego?
We traveled to Mexico, where I was able to practice my Spanish a little bit, and it kind of started there. And then my mom shipped us off to California one summer for like a week, because she had family out there. So me and my sister flew out there, and we got to go out to California and see all of those things, and that was amazing. And my aunt told me about how they had rented a camper van for 6 months in Europe when they had gotten married. And so I kind of just started learning more and more about the world and just wanted to see more.
We jumped in the back of a cab, and we being my wife and I, and we were in Cancun. And she told me to say something to the cab driver after we got in and told him where we were going.
Yeah.
She told him, "Go ahead, Wayne." I said, "Okay." I said, "Sir," or "Señor."
Yeah.
"Guapo hombre."
Guapo hombre. Guapa hombre. You're a handsome man?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny.
I didn't know what I was saying.
Yeah, that was great.
We ultimately got a big laugh out of
course.
It, all three of us. But
yeah.
She got me on that one. That's 25 funny. Minutes after 10 o'clock, my guest this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair is Shayla Hoheinzel, and she is going to continue our travelogue here in just a moment. But first, this important time out.
At Harry Brown's Family Automotive, everything is based on Brown family values, like being friendly, professional, and involved in the community. Right now, we've got a huge selection of vehicles, all American-made, every one of them. Check out that new 2017 Chevrolet, GMC, or Buick you've had your eye on for a while now. Also, we always make sure to peel off every inch of that sticky new car window sticker for you. Harry Brown's Family Automotive in Faribault, online at harrybrownsgm.com.
What did you say?
I said, well, you were saying how your trip to Mexico was probably 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And I've heard that traveling before the internet was just a task. Because now I can go online, book a plane, book a hotel, get a car rental. It's all set up and ready to go. Before, you had to write letters and get your plane tickets in the mail and all sorts of crazy. And if you're trying to communicate with somebody in Spain, you can't just hop on a video call. It's letters back and forth, and I think that's part of the reason why I think traveling is booming now, is just the ease of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just hired a local travel agent.
Yeah.
And just go down and pick up the itinerary and the tickets, and away we go. But you spent that time in Spain, and you were a nanny, but you call it a bedouin?
Or au pair.
Au pair.
Uh-huh.
Au pair.
Uh-huh.
And so you were teaching just one child or more than one?
Three.
Three kids?
Yep.
As mom and dad went off to work, or dad
Not
went
even.
Off
it
to
was,
work?
I worked with them when they got home from school for a couple hours, and then they went to bed. It was pretty easy gig. And they vary. Sometimes
What were mom and dad doing?
Mom was a stay-at-home mom. Yeah. Dad was he worked at the airport, air traffic control, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
They make good money.
Yeah.
So she'd stay home, and you'd take care of the kids.
No, she would stay home and do all the, she made all the meals, she did all the laundry, okay. She did everything. Okay. It was just after dinner and before bed where I would speak English to them.
Yeah.
So it was pretty.
Well, what did you do during the day?
I would go into town, or I would take the bus into Madrid, or I would just do, I don't know.
Madrid can be a dangerous place.
Yeah, Minneapolis can be a dangerous place.
Okay.
But it can, especially if you don't know the language. That's kind of where it gets tricky, is you can be a big target because they know that you're not from there. So that, I think, could be where the danger comes. But I think what I've learned from traveling is that people are usually good. And they usually are excited that you're in their town, and they're willing to help you and look out for you and make sure that you have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Similar to what we do here with our foreign
exactly,
visitors.
Exactly, yeah.
How long were you in Spain?
3 months.
Okay, and you knew going that it would be a three-month gig?
Yeah, because that's the work, the visa, the travel visa to get there is just 3 months, so
I
had to get out.
Then what do you do?
Then I went to...
I mean, what do you do with the visa?
It's just when you go into, I can't remember what it's called, but most European countries, you can only be in Europe for 3 months out of a six-month period. So if you go for 2 months and then go for a month later, within 6 months, you can only be there for 3 months as a tourist.
So you can be there for 6 months.
You can be there for three out of six. Like in a six-month period? Yeah.
Okay, so in a year, you could be there half the time.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. But you go through a lot of paperwork to do that?
No, that was just a travel visa, so that you just got when you walked in. They stamped your passport.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was most impressive of Madrid and Spain that you enjoyed while
being there? I think I just loved the Spanish. I just loved learning Spanish and learning about the people, because Spaniards are very like clean and put together, and just they're always look prepared. I don't know. They're just very elegant, I guess. So,
what about the food?
Oh my gosh, I gained so much weight when I was there. Because my family was feeding me so well, that everything that they made was delicious, and I just ate so much of it. But that happens a lot. My weight fluctuates up and down so much, probably plus or minus 15 pounds or like 10 pounds all the time. And I know it. I was just in Greece, and I had gained probably 10 pounds, and when I got back, I lost it because I was able to feed myself and get back on my normal schedule. And sometimes I'd lose weight because it's hot and you're sweating and you don't feel like eating anything but fruit. And so.
So what about the, you talk about the basically educational enjoyment of speaking Spanish and learning the language even more. What about the free-spirited young lady that's over there having an opportunity to learn a culture? And
right.
Did you hang with people your age?
Yeah. We did a lot of things with their family, and they had a lot of.
We.
Yeah, I did a lot of things. We meaning like the close family, the three kids and the parents. We did a lot of things with their extended family.
Okay.
So they would go to the park, or they would go to a birthday party or whatever, and I would always go along with them, and they would play like charades in Spanish, and they're like, Sheila, you can play, come on. And I'm like, I don't think I can. So they give me a really easy one that I could maybe get, and I did all right, but they were very much trying to get me into the culture of things, and it was pretty cool.
Did you have a chance to go clubbing, as they say nowadays?
Yeah. I met up with some people from my university who were traveling abroad in Madrid, and it was friends of friends. I didn't know them until we went out. And there they stay out till 6 or 7 in the morning. Yeah.
Doing what?
Just dancing and drinking and being out, and I've never really been that person. It was fun just to do like once, and you're like, wow, I'm tired. Yeah. And then people would sleep all day, and then they do it again the next day. And you're just like, man, I'm so grateful that ours here in Minnesota close at 2. So that at 1:30, you're like, okay, I'm ready. Let's go.
In a week or so, a couple of weeks, it'll be 4.
What?
Yeah. They're for the Super Bowl. Bars can apply for a permit to stay open until 4 o'clock in both St. Paul and Minneapolis.
I'm just not that person. I can't.
Well, I remember going to Super Bowls, and, it got to be 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. You go, oh, my gosh.
Right.
I got to get some sleep. Yeah. I got a big day tomorrow or the next day.
Right.
So were there any museums in your travels in Spain?
Not in Spain. I went to the Louvre. We went to...
But let's stay in Spain.
Okay, Spain.
Okay, you like the food.
Uh-huh.
You like the people.
Yeah.
You like the people you were working for.
Yes.
You met some of your fellow San Diego University of, is that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And had fun with them.
Mm-hmm.
And what about transportation? Did you find it convenient?
Yeah, public transportation. I just took the bus.
Okay.
And flights and flights and but every the public transportation there is really.
What were the tourist attractions in Spain? I think some people will think bullfighting, beautiful churches.
I did do the bullfighting. I went to that. I didn't do it. I went to it, which is controversial. People don't like it. Understandably, they literally kill a bull while you're in there. And so even the Spaniards are like not. My family was like, oh, you're going to a bullfight. And I was like, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, have a good time.
Ugh. Well, you've shot the bull before, haven't you?
Shot the bull?
Yeah. So you actually watched the entire program?
Yeah.
And see the man over beast?
Yeah.
With the swords?
Yeah.
And several of them?
Well, yeah, they start with these little hooks that they start putting in their skin, and so they're then running around with these hooks in their skin until they just get too tired because they're bleeding and it's... It was kind of graphic. And then they finally, I don't know, they finally take the sword and just put him out of his misery, essentially, that the misery that they put him in. So it is controversial. I wish that they could do it without all the hooks because the torero, the bullfighter, really does do a very artful dance with the bull. But it's dangerous, so then you have a bunch of other people who are putting the hooks in to wear him down. And so what they can do with the bull is pretty interesting, but what they do overall is a little gruesome.
Yeah, and how much did that cost to go see?
I have no idea.
No, okay.
I don't remember.
Anything else about Spain that you want to share?
Not that I remember. It was a good time. It was fun to... I just really enjoyed getting in with the family. And
did you go over to the Canary Islands?
I did not. I have met people recently who live on the Canary Islands in caves. And so I now have an inn, so I need to go there. That's part of the traveling is I continually meet more and more people and have more and more places to go. And so that's another way that I'm able to travel to all these places because you just go stay with friends and it's...
Now, do you check in with one or more people every day,
no.
Stateside, to let them know you're alive and well?
Once a week, I make a video.
Yeah, okay.
And so people typically know that I'm all right. My sister will check in on me and my mom. Well, my family checks in on me. But I think in the beginning it was more scary. And even now when people are like, you've inspired me to go travel, I'm like, be careful. Because you learn a lot. You learn about how to trust your gut and you learn about what doesn't feel right and stories you've heard and what to look out for and different things like that. So you kind of know what to expect. And so, I mean, my sister's a cop and I travel full time. So my parents, I'm sure, were a wreck initially and now they just have to let it go because otherwise you can't live being a wreck, you know? So they check in with me every once in a while, but typically they know that I'm all right. I'm pretty active on the social.
Now, does your sister live in the Stillwater area?
She lives in Woodbury.
Woodbury, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That's part of Washington County?
I think
it might be, yeah.
I think a little bit is.
Okay. Yeah. So now, Spain is done.
Spain's
all right,
done.
You got that down, you got that YouTubed,
yep.
And now it's time to do something else. Do you come home and rest for a while, and then, or do you book it from there?
No, I book it. I moved to Hawaii. And that's where I was. I lived there for 8 months, and that was, I worked in Honolulu, and I got into a graduate program, but then I decided that I got into a counseling graduate program. And then decided I want to go for nutrition. So then I took some nutrition classes. And I think that's kind of what started the whole thing. Because then from there, I was, the next year I did, I think, 4 more countries. And like I said, this year I did 6.
Well, I'm taking it slowly here.
All right, let's take it slowly.
Okay, so you go back to the States, Hawaii.
Yeah.
And you mentioned something about yoga.
Yeah.
When did that come into your life?
When I was in college, I started doing yoga. And then I did it a little bit in Spain, and then after Hawaii is when I took my teacher training so that I was able to be an instructor.
So you're a certified instructor.
Yeah.
Okay. What levels of yoga is there? Like in karate, there's black belts, orange belts, blah, blah, blah.
I would say there's two. You can get your 200-hour certificate and your 500-hour certificate. So it's kind of...
Hours,
yep.
Oh, okay.
So, but otherwise it's just practicing, and it's there's not really necessarily like milestones, but just how much you do it, I guess.
You still do it?
I do it. I just led a yoga retreat this year, actually, in Nicaragua.
Oh.
And I do it, and I was just in, this, you might find this funny, actually. There's a store in the mall called Lululemon, and it's a big yoga store. And for like a promotional thing, they have people do yoga in the window.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went in the window 2 days ago and just did yoga for an hour.
Where's that?
In the Mall of America.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that was funny because people expect a mannequin in the window. They don't expect a real person.
Right.
And so maybe I'll hold a pose for a minute and then I'll move. And people were like, the little kids loved it. Like, I'm pretty sure they thought I was an actual toy from Toy Story where I was moving and I was this moving mannequin and they saw me and they looked like it was, like I saw the magic in their eyes where they were like, what? The mannequin's moving. And then everyone else was just like they kind of got startled and they tell the person they're walking next to the mannequin just moved. Like, there's a person in the window.
Is that a pause that is done in yoga, or do you do it to
both? There's
put on a little latch,
right? There's two different. No, I was moving more than I was staying still.
Okay,
but just the movement is what caught people's attention from their peripherals. Because you're not always window shopping. You're maybe looking forward, but then if something moves, you're like, what?
Yeah,
but
I had an experience when the JCs in Northfield put on the haunted houses before. You know, they have professional haunted houses.
Uh-huh.
And they did a great job, and I always played the role of Dracula. and I would get the makeup, which was done beautifully, and then cross my hands over my shoulders, my right hand over my left shoulder, and my little tuxedo-type thing, and drape and cape. And at the junior, well, actually, this is how long ago it was, the old Washington School, which is City Hall is now Northfield, is the old Washington School. But the one before that, we had down in the basement. And I would lean up against the wall, so I was kind of at an angle and have my arms crossed and be staring ahead. And these kids would come in, and then all of them, welcome. And they'd turn around and run up those steps. So I can see where you were having fun with that.
Yeah.
So what made you go to Hawaii in the first place after, and how soon after Spain?
I came home for 2 weeks, and then I went to Hawaii.
Okay. And what drew you there?
Well, I was still dating the Marine.
Okay.
And I wanted to move abroad. And he just fought for our country, and he wanted to live in the United States.
God bless him.
So Hawaii was the compromise. It was like, well, technically we're still in the United States, but it feels like Hawaii. So that was where we decided to go.
Okay. Yeah. And as a man in the service?
I know. He got out.
Oh, okay.
Yep, and then we moved to Hawaii.
And so, you know, the first thing we hardcore Midwesterners say is, where did you work and where did he work?
He was going to school. And so when you are in the military and you go to school, the military supports you. And then I was working in a restaurant. Yes, I went from one restaurant to a second restaurant because the first restaurant closed while I was there.
Oh, so was it high end or?
The first one was not. It was just a Mexican restaurant. And then the second one was a good, it's called, I want to say poorhouse, but that's not right. Yard House.
Yard House.
Yes, and they have it here in Minnesota. It's a really, really, they have like the yard glass, the big yard glasses. They had those, but they have over 50 beers on tap.
Oh.
So you had, it was a 2 week training process of trying all the foods and learning all the beer and all the crazy things.
Do they pay you during that?
Yeah, and they feed you really well. Probably gained 10 pounds there too.
Yeah. Well, gee whiz, even if you didn't want to do that, it'd be a nice way to go on vacation.
Yeah, right? No kidding. Yeah, it was good. It was fun. That was a good time.
Wouldn't that be nice to go on vacation and, and go and work there and get paid
sample
to do it.
Sample all the beers.
Sample all the beers,
yeah.
Sample all the
I think
food.
It's great.
You know, and then when your 2 week training is up, you say, well, my vacation's up. I got to get back to work.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
So, what did your boyfriend do?
He went to school.
And at the University of Hawaii? Or?
Yep, he went to University of Hawaii okay. just to get his generals because.
Okay. How did you like Hawaii?
I loved it. It was really great.
Why?
I liked getting to know a little bit more about the culture because we had learned about the history of Hawaii and all the crazy things. And us, the U.S. having ownership over Hawaii was relatively new. So there's still people there that knew Hawaii before the U.S. owned it.
Well, I did too. I was never there.
Yeah.
But I remember when they were admitted to the United States.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's how old I am.
That's wild.
And then Alaska.
Right.
But one of the things, I've been to Hawaii, and the kind of an interesting thing was to go past the ocean front and go deeper into the neighborhoods
mm-hmm.
and get to those little restaurants, I guess you would call them.
Hole in the wall, mom and pop.
Yeah, and particularly Chinese and Japanese and Oriental.
Yeah, there's a huge influence.
And taste that food. And that, you know, now it also could go wrong. You could go in the wrong part. When you think of Hawaii, do you think of a wrong part? But they do have their ghettos.
Yeah.
You know, stay away from there.
Right.
I would imagine that some of them have disdain for stateside.
Yeah, just a little, yeah.
Did you feel that at all, of in locals saying, here comes somebody from Minnesota, of all places, to take my job?
I feel, oh, no, not like that. Because I was in the city where it was very, I mean, I was in Honolulu. I think if I was out in some of the smaller places, maybe, but not where I was. Where I was a lot of people that came from the States.
Did you go sightseeing?
Yeah, I did Pearl Harbor, and I went to Kauai and did a little hop over.
Up on the diamond?
Yeah, Cocoa Head. Yeah.
Did you go to that place where you can lean into the wind?
I did not.
You cannot fall down?
What? No.
Well, there's some place up in the mountains.
I think I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, and you just lean, you know, lay back like you're on a hammock. And
right.
So, and then, of course, a little rain in the afternoon helped.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
How about deep-sea fishing? Did you do that?
I did not.
Okay.
No.
So you were in Hawaii for how long?
8 months.
And what precipitated your move from Hawaii?
I broke up with my boyfriend.
Oh.
So I was like, well, now I got to go home.
So now he's oceans away.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So you came back to Minnesota.
Came back to Minnesota for a short little bit.
What month of the year was it?
October.
Well, that's a pretty time. A little bit colder.
For a little bit, and then it gets cold real quick.
So you came home and got over whatever.
Yep.
And decided, well, this has been pretty good so far. I think I want to do maybe a different continent. So what was your next choice?
So I was home for a little bit, saved some money, and then while I was home, I did little trips, like 2 weeks to Peru, and then 2 weeks to Ecuador, and 2 weeks to Thailand. And then I told my job, I was like, and I was just working at a restaurant. I was like, I'm going to leave for 3 months, and then I'll be back. And they were like, you can't do that.
What job was that?
At Harry's again. I went back to Harry's.
Okay.
But I was about to go lead a yoga retreat in Costa Rica, work at the surf camp, go to a wedding in Tahoe, and then go work on the Appalachian Trail.
I notice you're looking at the clock.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to be done at 10 o'clock. You know, we can talk about all these places. You know why? Because if you don't have anything to do tomorrow, I have the show for 1 hour, 10 to 11.
Tomorrow, I'm babysitting my nephew.
Bring him along.
Yeah, right.
Well,
A one-year-old?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hand him off to Terry Knight.
Right?
She'd like that.
And I'm dropping off my boyfriend. He's headed to Montana tomorrow to go.
This is a different guy?
This is the new and improved. You always got to get better.
And where'd you meet this guy?
In Minnesota. For all the travels that I've done, I've only dated one person that was not from Minnesota. Otherwise, they're all Minnesota boys. Okay. Isn't that funny?
What part of Minnesota?
Minneapolis.
I know where that is.
Yeah.
Okay. And did you meet him in a restaurant?
I met him on a dating app. It's the worst.
Really?
I know, yeah.
You?
Yeah.
Need a dating app?
Well, it was just, I broke up with my boyfriend, and I was like, well, I kind of want to go do things, and people on dating apps want to go on dates. So I was like, cool, I can get someone to go walk around the lake with, or someone to go just hang out with for a little while, and if I don't like them, fine. If I do, cool. I just, it was literally something to do.
How do you vet them?
Well, first, they have to, I mean, I tell them what I do. And if they're like, some people are like, you don't have a house, because I don't have a house. And so some people are automatically like, what? That's weird. Bye. And other times it's just if they're open-minded, if they are driven, because what I do, it seems like I'm on vacation all the time, but I'm working all the time trying to plan my next move and figure out the sponsorship and figure out my next video and do all of the things. So I'm literally working a lot. And so they have to be equally driven to do things. And, yeah.
So what does he do that keeps him busy when you don't keep him busy?
He was in the military. He was in the Army for 10 years. And then he, or 9 years. And now he's going to school. And he just finished with his associates. And now we are going to New Zealand for 2 weeks in a month. And so we are going to, and he's going to continue his online school. And then afterwards, he's going to go to be a park ranger. I'm not looking at the clock. I'm just looking up to think. But he's going to go to school to be a park ranger in Washington.
Good luck.
I know.
Yeah, those are, jobs are hard to get.
I know. But
because everybody wants to be a park ranger.
Yeah, right?
My guest this morning on KYMN Radio, by the way, we are the one. 95.1 on your FM dial, 1080 on your AM dial for over 49 years. Shayla Hoheinzel is my guest, and she is a traveler. I'm the kind of gal. There's a song called "There's Traveling Man." There's a lot of travel songs.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so Hawaii, you come back to Minnesota in October, and where do you live when you come home?
Between everybody, my sister lives in Woodbury. My dad was living in Lakeville. My mom was living in Northfield. So I would just bounce around. Typically, it was with my dad because that was my childhood house, and so I had my room there, and all my stuff was there. So that's usually where I stayed. And then I was off again.
Well, would anybody ever consider you a scrounge?
Yeah, a mooch.
A mooch, thank you. Okay.
I do my best to contribute, even though I'm not, because my dad, when he moved, because he just moved to, not in Northfield, but just outside of it. And I was like, Dad.
Dundas?
Kind of. Or New Castle Rock?
Castle Rock, yeah.
Yeah, I think
just north of here.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, my room is not going to be there. And he was redoing this house because he flips houses. And he's like, well, I'll make sure there's a room in here for you. And so he made sure there's a room, which is so sweet. But, I mean, I'll buy groceries, I'll clean, I'll do all the things while I'm there. I'm not just going to hang out and be a bum. And from traveling, you learn how to live communally because you typically you're in hostels. And so I pick up after myself and I add something like food or doing the laundry, like I said, or whatever. So
you know that there's an old saying about visitors are like fish. After 3 days, they start to smell.
Yeah.
so you know that you don't overdo your you're welcome.
Right. And with my dad, I don't feel that way.
Yeah.
I can stay with him for a month. And same with my mom. My mom's always like, you can stay with me.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. Because I'm not home very often. So when I'm home, they want me to be there and they want to hang out.
And you contribute. That's the most important thing, I think, is not make a mess and pick up after yourself and help out when you can.
Yeah.
So did you go back to Harry's in October when you got back from Hawaii?
I did. Yep.
And did you become head waitress then?
No.
No?
They were like, Shayla, how long are you going to be here for?
Like, really?
Like, pretty good amount. They're like, give us at least 6 months. I was like, okay. And so that's...
So did you give them 6 months?
That's how long I was there, yeah. I think it was short, maybe a week or two, but
okay.
Almost.
So, did you find working there a second or third time the menu had changed and you had
a little bit, but like, but from traveling and from working in different things, I learned a lot about how to be a better server. From my college degree, I learned about that serving skills, but so no, it hadn't changed too much. But every time I had to retake the test.
How do you mean how to be a better surfer? Server.
Yeah.
I'll take a break. And tell me the difference between the Shayla when you first started working at Harry's as a food checker or walker.
What did Expo, you, yeah.
And then what you learned and applied the last time you were working like that. Because, you know, they come up, hi, how are you? Nice weather having. Can I get you water, cauliflower, pop, beer, whatever? Okay, and here's your menu. Okay, you ready to order? Okay, and here's your food. Thank you. Anything else? No, thank you.
Right.
I mean, how do you improve on that?
Right.
So you're going to give that some thought while we give some thought to this.
Let us help you maximize your earnings with a certificate of deposit from Community Resource Bank. Invest in a 60-month CD at 2% or a 48-month at 1.75 annual percentage yield, or choose a 54-month bump option at 1.70% APY. Get the best deposit rates around with Community Resource Bank in Northfield, Cannon Falls, and Roseville. Good bankers, good friends. $25,000 minimum deposit required. Penalty for early withdrawal may reduce earnings. Other rates and terms are available. Member FDIC.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
I love Grandpa's new home. There's so much to do.
That's right. Millstream Commons helps improve the lives of seniors through all kinds of fun activities. Personalized care from a dedicated and well-trained staff, amazing creative meals prepared fresh every day and served in a social setting, live-to-be-healthy fitness classes, private apartments with all the amenities of home, and a place to continue your relationships with family and loved ones. Millstream Commons, your vibrant life continues here.
It is 5 minutes before it is 11 o'clock on the 195.1 FM out of Northfield, Minnesota, the Wayne Eddy Affair. And my guest this morning is a young lady by the name of Shayla Hoheisel, and she's talking about the travel she's made. We got her from Lakeville to San Diego and then to North Carolina, then to, or South Carolina, I don't know which, and then to Spain, and then to Hawaii, and I don't know where, you're back home.
And now back home, yeah.
Yeah, at Harry's. So what's the difference between
a good server and a bad server?
Or a good server and a better server.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. I think just the difference that I learned is not to be afraid of, I think the upselling people are afraid of when they first start, and if it's genuine, that's the difference. You know when you're at a place and they're like, oh, do you want this or this? Do you want to get this? Do you want to get this? Do you want to get? And you're like, no, I know what I want. Versus somebody who's like, you have got to try the fries over the chips. Our fries are the best or whatever. There's just a genuine, sincere that, or not being afraid. Yeah, just kind of reading the people.
I go out with people that what would you recommend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't generally ask that. I look at the menu and pretty much, but I'll ask about something.
Yeah.
You know, which is bigger, your New York or your sirloin or your T-bone or your porterhouse or the one that I like the best of all with the marble in it?
Yep. Well, and when people ask that, typically they just want you to make their decision. When I ask that, when I ask a server, is this or this better, I want them both. Just pick one for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that took a minute for me to realize, too, because I'd be like, well, and I didn't help them. And I'd be like, so now, someone, if I were serving, if someone asks, I just answer. And it's a genuine answer. This is the one that I like more, but I'll just be like, this one, because this and this and this, and you sell it to them, and they're like, yeah. And you're like, all right, I made your decision for you. Bye.
So when is it proper to say, I don't like this, it's not very good?
And not
want to pay for it.
So
first bite.
Ah, yeah. don't eat half of it and say it's not good.
Judge Judy agrees.
Yeah, right. If you, for 3-4 bites, fine, depending on how big it is.
Yeah.
But people definitely do that. They're like, I didn't like this. And I'm like, then why did you eat half of it?
Yeah, I've had that with French soup.
Yeah.
And I love French soup, but some places are it's not good.
Right?
It's not good.
Yeah.
But it's, anyhow.
Yeah.
So you can't join me tomorrow. You got to babysit.
Yep.
And maybe in the near future, we'll continue our conversation and talk about how many different countries.
You've I'm at 21 right now.
Okay. And we'll talk about those.
Yep.
And what about this thing you're doing on the internet that I'm not that familiar with?
Yeah.
You got 7,600 followers.
Yep. Yeah. On YouTube. So my video blog is called Living on a One-Way. Like one-way tickets.
That's cute.
Yeah, thank you.
That's very good.
So that's on all. I have YouTube, which is growing. I have a Facebook page if people don't do YouTube. And I have an Instagram. And so Instagram is for photos. YouTube and Facebook are for videos mostly. And I just do a weekly video about where I am, what I'm up to, what I learned, maybe top things to do in the place that I'm at, or travel tips or something. I do videos with my sister. People love my sister on my videos. They're like, when are we going to get more videos of Amber? I was like, when she makes her own YouTube channel.
Yeah.
But like her and I play off each other so well because we've done it our whole lives. So the videos with Amber are always so fun when I'm home. So, and we've done things, extreme things. Like she just had a baby, so she was breast pumping. So I was like, what's breast pumping like? And so on one of my videos, nothing shows, everything's covered, but I tried breast pumping.
Isn't that crazy? Everything's covered. I mean, my God, it's a very natural thing.
Right, exactly.
What about, my stop in Northfield, Minnesota, with a video of the studio here and a picture of Jesse James there.
Oh, my
gosh. Say this is where you knew all about the defeat of Jesse James.
Yeah,
That's a great
I haven't been here for,
any
– I have never been here on Jesse James Days.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I need to get here.
Yeah, it's very historical.
Yeah.
People from around the world come.
Wow.
And it's a lot of fun if you enjoy having fun.
Is your
boyfriend, or are you free now?
No, I have a boyfriend.
Okay.
Yep.
So is he a killjoy, or does he like to have fun?
No, he likes to have fun.
Okay. Is he a big bruiser?
He's not, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, you talked about Marines and Army.
Oh, my gosh, I know. Yeah, luckily I met him a little bit later.
Okay.
I feel like that's all in the military.
So we'll pick up after you got home from Hawaii in October and promised or suggested you'd stick around for 6 months at Harry's in Lakeville, which would have taken.
And this was like in 2013, I think.
Yeah,
so this
we
is
got
5 years.
A lot of room to cover.
Yeah.
Okay, give that address again that people can use their smartphones or computers.
Living
to
on a One-Way.
Spell out the whole thing.
Living on a One-Way. Yep, you could Google it.
One word?
Five words or however many words. Living on a One-Way.
Know what I mean? You know, how they say da da da, all one word.
Mm-hmm.
.com or .net or
you can go
org.
To youtube.com backslash living on a one way or facebook.com/livingonaoneway.
How about if I just went to Google and put living on a one way?
Then my YouTube will come up.
Okay, now do I put living on a one way or put them all together?
Five words.
Okay.
I like what you're doing here. Let's say it living on a one way, five words.
Well, you know, you've been so kind to give me a couple of your hours.
Yeah.
And let's make an arrangement to get together again and finish off the other continents.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? As far as you've gone so far.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Shayla Hoheisel, my guest this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair. You are listening to The One, 95.1 FM, and, of course, KYMN Radio. 1080 on your AM dial since 1968. So we're going to have a big celebration coming up.
95.1, The One.
A lion is on his head, and my love is out on the ledge, get to the bonfire and get undressed. My boots are caked with clay, these clothes are loose, and my appetite's gone. We'll throw them in the bonfire when we get along. Our love is sacred, wounded and naked, like a sunburned kiss. We are changed. Go, you know the only